Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another edition of the Inside Texas Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Wells, the managing editor at InsideTexas.com. And joining me is our X's and O's guru at IT, Mr. Ian Boyd. How are you doing, Ian?
I'm a little tired. I stayed up late last night to watch that basketball game. Then I stayed up a little longer thinking about it. So, a little bit tired.
Yeah. That game last night was something else. Hard to put into words exactly what we exactly think about that. But nevertheless, it was a late start, a late game, and all the way around just a bad result. So joining us today as we kick off 2015, I hope everyone had a happy new year, especially along the Longhorn Nation. Today we've got a very special guest, Mr. TJ Ford. Mr. Texas Basketball himself will be joining us here in a few minutes. He's going to come on to talk a little bit of recruiting when he started, talk about his career at Texas, talk a little bit about what he's up to now these days, and then also give us a little insight onto the team this year, his relationship with Rick Barnes, and what he thinks Texas needs to do to correct some of the things that he saw. The timing is probably pretty good, considering the performance last night. Don't want to harp on it too much, because I think a lot of it's not so much X's and O's as it is effort. But nevertheless, the timing is definitely unique. So, and then in the end, Ian and I are going to talk a little bit about the end of the season for Texas. I'll update you a little bit on recruiting, and then we'll talk a little bit about the college football playoff and what we think is going to end with that. So, first off, before TJ joins us, Ian, let's just talk a little bit about 2014, 2015 for Texas Hoops. Top 10, number 10 in the nation. I don't think they stick there come next week. But nevertheless, there's top 10 talent. The Ike Taylor injury definitely set them back a little while, especially when you don't have a valuable ball handler behind him. Just kind of give me your initial thoughts on where Texas is at so far, Ian, and kind of what you're seeing so far.
Well, from what I've seen so far, it seems like the sum of the parts is less than the parts themselves. You know, there is so much talent on this team, but it seems like they're just missing the components that will make it come together in a cohesive way, especially in offense. And that's kind of always that's always been the story with Barnes, some of Barnes' talented teams over the last, 8 years or so, right, is that they'll have a lot of talent, but they won't come together on offense in a way that actually makes them that dangerous. And I feel like that's what we're seeing again.
Right. I think you're exactly right. It's just one of those things where you wonder if they've hit a wall, you wonder – kind of where they are mentally and physically come January, come Big 12 play. So, joining us now is our special guest, TJ Ford. What do you say, TJ?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well.
We're doing great.
Can you hear me?
TJ, yeah, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, okay, we're good. Yeah, I can hear you guys well.
All right, very good. I just want to first tell you thank you so much for joining us. This is a tremendous honor. A lot of Longhorn Nation considers you Mr. Texas Basketball, and so we're just so grateful and thankful for you to join us. I want to get things started off. We'll do it chronologically. I'm actually followed your career in high school at Willow Ridge High School, where you went 75-1. Could you tell us a little bit about how your recruiting got started and how you came to choose Texas and that sort of order?
For me, you know, high school was very, very competitive. We had a lot of guys that we had to that we was following careers from, you know, high school to AAU aspect, as in, you know, the Rashard Lewis's, the Alton Fords, and it was so much talent here at the time, and it was a lot of different high schools that everybody felt had a good opportunity to win a state championship, and we was part of that conversation. And we were just fortunate enough to have a real dominant team, and majority of my team, most of the main guys, at least six or seven of us, we all played on the same summer team as well. So I don't think people value the type of experience that we had amongst each other. I think that's why we was able to be successful in high school, because of the amount of games and practice from high school, and then when you go to AAU and traveling and playing against the best talent in the country as well, we just knew each other. And I think we played so many games together behind closed doors, and we was able to come out and show everyone that type of chemistry. And I think that's what allowed us to create a lot of historical moments while I was in high school at Walter Ridge High School. What led me to get to the University of Texas is, number one, they did an unbelievable job recruiting-wise. I think under the rules, they pretty much did everything they possibly could. It wasn't a day that went by that they was not available. Whether I was in Houston, whether I was somewhere across this country, somebody who represented the University of Texas was there. I think that intimidated a lot of schools from recruiting me. I don't think people really understood, I could have went to any university in the country, but at the same time, a lot of universities did not recruit me because they felt I would end up going to Texas. And the unique story is that once they kind of got out there and a lot of coaches felt that wasn't how I felt at that time. So Texas did an unbelievable job of just running everybody off, and it really made me focus strictly on Texas and what they brought to the table. And I think when I came on my visit, it's probably the best visit I ever had out of all the schools that I did visit. And it felt like home. It felt like the right place. And I think the main key, besides the coaching staff recruiting me, Rob Lanier, Coach Barnes, Russell Spreedman, Brian Cousins at that time that was on staff, the next most important piece was Royal Ivy. He's the guy that pretty much sealed the deal for me, because we built a relationship from day one when I met him, and we continue to keep that friendship going, and he's one of my best friends to today.
TJ, you talked about just the chemistry you had in your high school team, and for me, that was one of the things that I loved about the TJ Ford Texas basketball teams. I don't know if y'all had the most NBA talent to any Rick Barnes team, but it seemed like those teams, everyone had a kind of fit and a role, and everything just worked together so perfectly. Can you talk about what it was like playing with those guys for 2 years?
Oh, it was unbelievable. I mean, we all felt like we was all underdogs, even though I knew that I was one of the top talents to ever come to the basketball program at the University of Texas. I still was a high school sensation that felt like I was underrated, even though I was highly recognized as a high school basketball, elite basketball player. But for me, it's all about being number one. And as long as people had me number two, three, four, five in the country at my position, I was hungry to prove people wrong. So I think you take myself and you add these other guys in that nobody probably felt should have been at the University of Texas, and you put us all together, and we was able to form a chemistry in the bond because we all had the same mentality, and that was to be aggressive, that was to play hard, that was to challenge each other and never let a moment go by where we wasn't giving our best to each other. And we spent a lot of time off the court with each other as a team. We understood each other very, very well. We understood that the personalities. We understood how to handle each guy when, personality at times, because we was all different, but we didn't ask anyone to change. We allowed guys to be who they were. And that's what made it fun, is that I think when you look at the 2 years I was at Texas and you look at our team, I think you look at the different characters that was on the team. And none of us was the same. We all was unique and different. And I think that was the cool part that everybody kind of can relate to.
Talking with TJ Ford, be sure and check out tjfordbasketball.com. TJ, the accolades that you had at Texas are tremendous. Obviously, the 2003 Final Four appearance, Wooden and Naismith Player of the Year awards. Your number was retired. You're also, I don't know if people realize, you were the first freshman in the nation to lead the nation in assists. And so there was just so many accolades. And then you get to go and play in the NBA. Tell us a little bit about what it was like to live the dream and play in the league, and how did Texas prepare you for that?
You know, being able to live your dream is definitely unbelievable feeling and experience to actually accomplish the things that you dreamed of as a kid. So it's kind of hard to put that kind of in perspective to everyone. But you know, to simplify it, it's amazing. I wouldn't ask for any different type of way. I don't think people understand the challenge of living your dream and what goes into it. I think it's a lot of sacrifices that you make growing up as a kid to even give yourself an opportunity to be able to live that dream, missing out on a lot of things that a lot of other kids would probably be doing. You know, I was playing basketball majority of the time, but that was my passion and that was my love, and that's what I wanted to do. So it wasn't forced on me at all. I think my parents did an unbelievable job of the things that they instilled in me, the way that they pushed me from a effort standpoint, from understanding the game standpoint. I can't recall any moments where, you know, my parents would say, you didn't play hard enough. I think it was more of, you know, you didn't make the right decision on this player at this particular time. And I think that's something that allowed me to be unique and be able to see the game in a different way and anticipate. Because I was taught how to understand my teammates at an earlier age, how to understand what someone's strength and what someone's weakness is. And I think my mom and my dad, you know, they won't get a lot of credit, but they did an unbelievable job with the way that they trained me to view the game. I think that's the most important piece for me, and it helped at all levels. My Texas experience helped me get to the NBA. It just showed me how to work. I think once I got to the University of Texas, I really learned how to get better. Coach Barnes, he pushed me. Frank Hayes, these guys pushed me. Russell Springman, they pushed me to get better every single day. They challenged me in a lot of different ways of not accepting just being the best player and being a prima donna. I think that's something that they did not allow me to be, a prima donna. Now, you know, at times that they let me get away with things, no doubt about it, but to carry that prima donna mentality is something that they taught me, and I think that kind of helped me get through the league. Once I kind of got to the NBA. But, you know, those 2 years, I worked extremely hard to improve my game. I was dedicated, and so was my teammates and the coaching staff. So without everybody being dedicated and pushing me to the limit, I don't think I would have been as dominant as I was.
We've all heard that one relationship at Texas that was really special for you was your relationship with Rick Barnes. We're wondering if you can tell us your best Rick Barnes prank story from your time at Texas.
I can't remember. He did something to me, and I can't remember. I can't remember what it was, but I remember I went to his office and I found a way to get his car keys, and I think I moved his car somewhere on campus, and I think I told Todd Wright where I hid the car, and he was trying to find it for a while, but I think they finally gave in because he had to go pick up his daughter Carly at the time, so he kind of got out a little easier than I wanted him to, but we just had a good time. I mean, he was my father figure away from home. I think he was the guy to help me take my game to the next level. I think he he took with my dad and Coach Courtney. That was my high school coach. I think he was the one who took me to the next level. I think they got me to a point, and I think with his vision for the game and how he see the game and how he treated me as a player on and off the court, I think he definitely helped elevate my game of being this big-time Texas legend, because this is something that he told me when he was recruiting me, what would happen. And I, you know, we looked each other in the eyes, and I believed in him, and he believed in me, and I felt that he was the guy that I just felt he was a man of his word. And I just put all my trust into him that he would help me get to where I needed to get to or where I wanted to get to. And he did everything in his power to do that. And obviously we was able to, you know, he helped me be the best player in the world in college basketball at all levels. And everybody had the same opinion and felt that I was the best, because I pretty much won a majority of the awards going into my sophomore year.
Looking ahead, this 2014-2015 season, TJ, is one of the most talented that Barnes and Texas has had in the last handful of years. It seems that with the Miles Turner signing and the veterans taking that next step, your Jonathan Holmes, your Isaiah Taylor, your Cam Ridley, there's just a ton of talent here. What do you see out of this team? And try to disregard what we saw last night. What do you see? Because I think that's an outlier. What do you see in this team? What do you think they need to take that next step? Because I think the Big 12 is the most competitive conference in the nation, top to bottom, absolutely. Kansas is a little down. It's there for the taking. What does Texas have to do moving forward to grab that and go ahead?
Well, I mean, it's all about team chemistry. I mean, you have one of your best players out for over a month, and you're able to lose. I think they lost one game during that time span, maybe two at the most. I think two, Stanford and Kentucky. So for those guys being able to compete and hold the fork down while Isaiah was gone, you know, that's a huge adjustment. So I think to use last night as an example, I mean, Isaiah's second game back, I mean, the team identity, it automatically changes. I think guys' roles become different now because he's a really effective point guard, and now everybody has to kind of they gotta make adjustments, right? As a team, guys got to figure out how do they get their opportunities now, you know, whether they fit in, and hopefully these guys can get that chemistry and get it, and get the, you know, the gelling aspect down, because now you're in conference play, you don't have a choice, but. I think they will be okay. I think the coaching staff has did an unbelievable job compared to what type of hole we was in the past 4 years ago. So with a lot of turnover that was going on, you know, within the program. So I give the coaching staff a big credit to be top 10. At one point, let's just call it top 15 in the country with a team that coming into the year, everybody was still – you know, unsure about. So I give the coaching staff credit, and I give the players credit, because I was able to watch throughout the summer and before the season start these guys' work ethic, and I was able to watch them compete against each other and be committed to what it's going to take to be a top team in the country.
TJ, what do you see as being the key to making Barnes' offense work? We know you guys had it down perfectly when you were there. When you watch this team or when you watched other teams or just from your own career, what do you feel like are the keys to making it work?
Chemistry. It's all about chemistry. It's all about guys understanding each other. It's about guys is being able to understand what their role is to allow the team to win. And like I said, these guys are making an adjustment on the fly because you've been having your best player who haven't been able to practice because of his injury. So they're up against a huge challenge, but I think they can overcome it as well. So I think everything is fine. I think, you know, they will be okay. It's just a matter of how quick do they make the adjustment to Isaiah being back, because he's a totally different point guard than Holland and Javon. So I think they're okay. I really do. I really believe that.
Kind of go into it. Let's go talk a little bit. We're almost done here, TJ. Just another question. Tell us a little bit about what you've been up to lately. Of course, TJFordBasketball.com. I hear you do tremendous things with kids in Houston and Austin. Kind of tell us what you're up to lately and kind of your vision.
Yeah, my vision right now is to influence the culture of basketball in a positive way. And AAU basketball is something that when people mention, it has this bad aura and bad mentality. When you bring that name up, people kind of freaks out and feel like it's just so negative. And it's a world that I grew up in. AAU helped me become who I am, and it allowed me to get exposure. It allowed me to play against some of the best kids around the country. So it has a lot of positivity to it, but the negative things kind of overshadow the positivity in it. And what we're trying to do is just put a positive light on grassroots basketball. At the same time, we're trying to teach these kids life skills through basketball. So it's a matter of me trying to do the same thing that my parents and my high school coach and Coach Bourne taught me. And I can't use that information anymore because I'm no longer playing because of my retirement. So now it's exciting to try to share and give these other kids that information of what it takes to be a good basketball player, but also know how to understand the game better. And I think that's what we're trying to – that's what we're bringing to the table into AAU aspect and even just training, because it's not just AAU basketball with my program. It's just a matter of teaching the kids why sports is important, because sports teach you everything that you need to know in the real world or in the business world, because it's all about team chemistry. It's about doing your job. It's about being committed. It's about handling adversity. It's about your teammates picking you up when you're down. It's a lot of things that it teaches you and gives you life lessons and experiences. And we're just trying to give all these different things to these kids to give them a better sense of direction of what they want to head in the future. And education is one of the biggest things that we're harping on within my program. But because 99.9 of these kids will not make it to the NBA, and education is important. That's why students, fans, will see me in a classroom and on campus for the next year and a half of me going back and getting in my degree, because I'm still limited without it. And the message for me is, no one can take that education. Basketball was taken away from me, and I got to move on. So I think once I get my degree, it's just nothing anyone can take that away.
That's absolutely outstanding. TJ, we can't thank you enough for joining us. I do have to add one little tidbit.
Okay.
That 75-1 record had that one loss, and I believe that was to the school Sugar Land Clement. Am I correct?
Correct.
Their coach was my high school coach. His name was Ralph Farley.
Really?
And I just have to tell you that Coach Farley still talks about that win over the dynasty of Willeridge. And so that's outstanding. He still lives by that, man. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, they got us a loss, and my sophomore year, they created this investigation that forced us to forfeit over 20-some games and didn't allow us to make the playoffs my sophomore year. But you know what? I didn't hold it against Clements. I'm a Sugar Land guy, Fort Bend guy. So we've been working with the program over there as well. We just put a guy named Coleman Edwards into the University of New Orleans from Clements basketball program. So we're doing a lot of things to continue to help a lot of schools in the surrounding areas in Houston. And Clements is one of those schools that that we definitely helping their basketball program and putting kids in Division I college.
Man, that is so cool. Thanks again, TJ, for everything. Tell all of our listeners where they can find you, also at tjfordbasketball.com, and where they can find you on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, on Twitter and Instagram. Follow me, TJ_Ford, F-O-R-D, and also follow TJ Ford Basketball for the latest updates of our high school, middle school talent, me training. And we will be doing a lot more videos of me explaining the way that I view the game and see the game. And you actually can see me training some kids. So follow those on social media. Our Facebook is TJ Ford as well. And you will be seeing a lot of content. And I'm sure you guys are hear back from me in the next couple of weeks to start promoting some events that I will be doing in Austin as well.
Absolutely, TJ. We would we'd be thrilled to do that for you. Thanks again for everything. Stay in touch and hook them.
Hook them horns.
That was it with our man TJ Ford, Texas X, former Player of the Year, inducted to the Hall of Horns last year. Ian, that was that's about as good as it gets, man.
That was great. That was just – he's such a – he's probably the most – legendary, iconic figure we've had on the podcast that I'm aware of.
Yeah. I think we started off 2015. We can go nowhere but down from this point.
No, it's down. It's down from here.
You know, I asked TJ, this has been, we had set this up a few weeks ago, and I'd asked TJ for about 7 to 9 minutes, and the guy gave us almost 30 minutes. And so I can't be any more gracious than that. We've only got a few minutes left. We're going to do a podcast either again in a few days on Friday, or we might start one off next Monday to catch everybody up on recruiting. Lots of going on. We'll get our man Eric Nolene on here. We'll talk to Jesus Shuttlesworth here in the next few podcasts. He's going to catch us up on the team events, the new coaching hires. We only have a few minutes left, so let's finish it up, Ian, with a little college football playoff talk. I'm going to let you put out your prediction first. Kind of tell me real quick what you thought of the first two games. And then tell me who's going to win the national championship, and then I'll put mine in, and we'll go.
Well, the first two games are kind of surprising. I kind of thought Ohio State could give Alabama a game, and I thought maybe they'd be able to run it better than other teams had. But Ezekiel Elliott ran all over Alabama, all over them. That was shocking, honestly. And I think that keeps up. I think Ohio State will beat Oregon, and somehow that will be an upset, even though Ohio State is a much more tradition-rich and traditionally powerful program. Everybody will be shocked, but I think Ohio State will win.
What's crazy about this Ohio State team, and I believe even Urban Meyer has alluded to it, this is a young team. I still feel like they thought they were about a year away. And compound that with your third-string quarterback. You know, a lot of people want to say, well, Alabama's weakness was their secondary, therefore the Buckeyes were able to exploit that. Like you said, they ran the ball on Alabama, and it wasn't too difficult. And so I guess I was more surprised with the Ohio State win over Bama. Oregon beating Florida State, not so much. I think it's Oregon has been building up the last few years, kind of culminating into this. That being said, I'm taking Ohio State. I think they are the better team on the interior, and that's basically where the game is won and lost. I'm taking Ohio State by seven. It's been a crazy bowl. Go ahead.
A quick note on their Ohio State succeeding with their third-string quarterback. Their offensive coordinator, Tom Herman, learned how to develop quarterbacks as a GA under guess which coach?
Tell me.
Greg Davis, Texas.
That's probably the greatest note you've ever added in podcast history.
I bet you like
I'm a huge Greg Davis supporter. Well, Ian Boyd, tell us where we can find you on Twitter.
I'm at @Ian_A_Boyd.
You can also find my man. He's the X's and O guru of InsideTexas.com. He's got a story that's going to be going up in the next few days highlighting the Texas offense and what to expect in the spring. Ian, I sure enjoyed it, man. Until we do this again, have a good one.
Took him.
Enjoyed it, guys. The Inside Texas podcast. Look for us to come out in the next few days with another one. Until then, book 'em.